Sports isn't all about X's and O's. It's about dollars and cents. This is SBR, a 95.5 The Game.
Brian Berger back with you. We're with you till 11:45. Then it's time for Ducks baseball here on 95.5 The Game. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by a terrific reporter for the Oregonian, Rachel Bachman. Rachel, how are you?
I'm good, Brian. How are you?
Good. I was just astonished at the Pac-12 TV deal. I always had faith in Larry Scott, but I think he exceeded my expectations with this one. At first glance, before we talk about specifics, what was your initial thoughts when you heard about the deal?
I was a little surprised at the scope of it as well. I mean, we're talking $3 billion over 12 years, the biggest TV deal for any conference in history. I think he certainly is very aggressive, extremely smart, and that's why he was hired. But I think he also benefited from essentially selling at the height of the real estate market, to make an analogy. The SEC and the Big Ten were already sewn up, and I think that certainly Fox and ESPN thought, okay, we've got to get this done. This is dwindling prime real estate.
You know, a lot of people that I talked to this week, they ask, gosh, it's so much money for the networks to pay. Can they recoup that kind of investment? And I think they can, and we've seen networks do it with the NFL and with some other huge expenditures. But I would think that, you know, the network executives are pretty smart. So if they're putting this money out there, they feel pretty confident that over the next 12 years, they're going to recoup that investment, right?
I would think so. And so of course, it's a gamble. It's an incredible amount of money. But one thing that's important to note about sports programming, and particularly really already proven to be popular sports programming in college football and college basketball, is that it's some of the only programming that's not edited and that people prefer to watch live. And if you think about what's on TV nowadays, you know, even reality shows are edited and scripted. They're filmed ahead of time. You can watch them on DVR. If you want to watch a big game, you really have to do it live. Otherwise, you're going to find out the score and so on and so forth. And so if you think about the value of that to a network or networks, you know, people are going to be watching those ads. People are going to be sitting there live watching it as it was intended to be watched and not fast-forwarding through the ads. And I think that's a pretty powerful selling point for the networks who pay for this deal.
Well, and think about over the next 12 years. I mean, we've already seen technology to the point where you can watch games on your iPad and your mobile devices. I shudder to think what it's going to be like 12 years from now. So they're going to be able to take this content and put it on all these other platforms beyond just what you see on your TV and sell advertising to that as well.
Yes, and I think that's another reason why Larry Scott was such an attractive hire about 2 years ago as Pac-10 commissioner. You know, his predecessor was not as tech savvy, I think that the conference office had aged a little bit, and so I think that the powers that be were really itching to get into the hearts and minds of the texting generation. I think they've done that.
Yeah, Larry Scott, who's been in Portland, and you know, I know you've been around him too. He's a pretty engaging guy, very aggressive, an outside the box thinker, and. You know, I've been critical of Tom Hanson. I think the last few years on the job, he just wasn't as engaged. And I don't know that he had the concept of technology and even the creativity to go out and make this type of a deal that Larry Scott has done. So I think Larry Scott has been an incredible find for the Pac-12 conference.
I think so, too. I think Hanson had different goals. It seemed to me that his goals were more as a really careful steward and shepherd of the conference and, you know, taking care of the conference office expenditures, things like that, and really being a responsible steward. Scott was hired to get things done, to make deals, to really push the agenda, and that's exactly what he's done.
He's even done stuff like before the past college football season, he takes all the football coaches to the East Coast and does, you know, a media tour with them because they had said, well, we don't get any exposure on the East Coast. So he said, okay, don't complain about it. Get on a plane with me. Let's go to the East Coast and do a media tour. And yeah, I just didn't see Tom Hanson doing stuff like that.
Yeah, he Scott really has a history of saying, well, so what if it hasn't been done before? Why can't we do it? You know, he was the one who initiated connecting Venus Williams with the top brass at Wimbledon. And between his persuasion and hers, got Wimbledon to award women equal prize money to men. And that's, you know, there's no older organization in sports. And so I think he is undaunted by sort of the status quo and business as usual.
We're joined by Rachel Bachman of the Oregonian. Rachel, $21 million or so per school per year is part of this deal. That's a lot of money. Let's talk about Oregon and Oregon State specifically. How did they have this money earmarked? Do we know that yet?
Well, we have a few signs of what they'll do with it, but I have to caution you first. The average per year of the life of the deal is $21 million. So in the first year, which will be next year, 2012-2013, the schools will get closer to $16 million. And you have to remember that most, if not all, of the schools in the Pac-10 had pre-existing multimedia rights deals. And this is exactly the kind of thing Scott was sort of trying to clean up and consolidate. Oregon State, for instance, has a deal with Learfield Communications, and they were handling the media rights and so on. Oregon has a deal with IMG College. They'll have to buy out of those deals. And I think they're still in the process of figuring out what they'll have to pay to get out of those. But that money comes off of the top. So Bob DeCarolis, the athletic director at Oregon State, estimated that the first year of the Pac-10 TV deal, they'll get about $14.5 million. So that's much less than $21 million. But for comparison's sake, this year in TV money, in sort of the equivalent figure, was about $5.5 million. So it's still a huge jump for them and certainly for Oregon as well. That being said, in both cases, and indeed across the Pac-10, a lot of athletic directors and athletic departments had really already spent this money. I know it's hard to believe. We look at the figures, but in Oregon State's case, they had borrowed money to from a number of sources to help expand Research Stadium, and they do take about $3 to $4 million annually from the University General Fund to just help run department operations. So that's certainly sort of a hole they'll have to climb out of right off the bat. At Oregon, of course, they've got Matthew Knight Arena, which despite Phil Knight's very generous donation of $100 million as sort of a financial backstop, the entire price tag, $227 million of that arena, is borrowed in bonds. And so the athletic department has to pay those bonds back. So believe it or not, Rob Mullins, the athletic director of Oregon, said, you know, we already figured this money into our budget. It's not changing anything in terms of the trajectory of our department. Larry Scott said that he was thrilled that this money would enable schools to revive sports that had been cut. That is not the case at Oregon. Rob Mullins indicated that Oregon will not be bringing back wrestling. It's just simply not in the budget.
Yeah, and I see there are some sports at Colorado, too, that they're saying they're probably not going to bring those sports back. Isn't baseball one of them?
Yeah, there has been discussion about bringing back baseball. But again, you know, what's happened conference-wide and really nationwide is there's been this incredible facilities investment, and most of that has been borrowed money. And so, you know, athletic departments are having to pay that bill now, or pay those multiple bills. And in the case of campuses where there's multiple projects going on at once.
We're joined by Rachel Bachman of the Oregonian. So, Rachel, obviously the money is a big part of this deal, but I think the other big part of this deal is the exposure that the Pac-12 conference will get going forward. A lot of games just weren't televised, especially basketball and things like that. And then they've got this network that's going to be 24/7. So we're going to see women's sports games televised. We're going to see some of the secondary sports televised. I think it's great for the exposure of the Pac-12 conference, and they were kind of in the dark ages when it came to exposure across the country.
That is true. It's really a leap forward that all football and all men's basketball games will be televised for the first time, along with most women's basketball games and probably many, many Olympic sports, because many of those are rarely televised. So that is huge. And I think that's a credit to Larry Scott as well. He really has a vision beyond just football and basketball. I think he understands that, you know, various sports have various levels of popularity around the nation and even around the world. You know, he's talked about expanding TV coverage and exposure to the Pacific Rim. And certainly some Asian countries that might be interested in different sports than an American audience. So that's all part of sort of the network and thinking about content in just a global sense, not just a regional sense.
Last question for you. 12 years, that's a long time. Do you think that's maybe too long to do a deal, or is that just part of the price of doing business that the networks say, hey, look, if we're going to pony up this kind of money, we want to lock you in for a long time?
I think that this is just an absolute grand slam home run for the Pac-10. I think that given that it's the richest deal in the history of college sports, I don't see how he could have done much better. And I think there's a very smart clause built into it that hasn't gotten much conversation, but he's reserving, I believe, 2 to 4 football games to be picked first by the Pac-10 Network. In other words, they'll get first pick on a handful of the most desired games, which in turn will make it easier to get cable carriers to want to subscribe to the Pac-10, Pac-12 Network. So I think he's been very shrewd in thinking about what will make this valuable and what will make the whole thing, the whole package work between ESPN, Fox, and the new network, which we're still learning details about.
So I lied. That wasn't the last question. Here's the last question. So we saw the NFL Network and the Big Ten Network have problems with distribution. Is there any concern that the Pac-12 Network might have those same problems and that, you know, we're going to have this battle with cable carriers and people wanting to charge too much? And I just wonder if that's a concern.
That's certainly a risk. That's always a risk. Cable carriers do not have to carry a network. And so, you know, you have to have some bargaining power. But I think that's something that the Pac-10 Network is doing better than the Big Ten did. The Big Ten really didn't hold back really the most prime content for its network. And so that makes it a harder sell. If you have, you know, one or, like, for instance, a rivalry game or two, a football rivalry game to hold over people's heads, I think that makes the channel, the entire channel, much more attractive to subscribers and to carriers. So I think that was very smart on Larry Scott's part. It remains to be seen whether that is enough, you know, just those handful of chits to use as bargaining power to persuade cable companies to carry this and carry it at a reasonable price.
Great information, as always, from Rachel Bachman of The Oregonian. Rachel, how can people follow you on Twitter?
I'm at Boxcore, spelled B-A-C-H-S-C-O-R-E.
And I follow Rachel and tell you to follow her as well. She's a good follow. Has good, some funny stuff in there, too. I love that retweet that you had the other day of the liquor sponsorship for the little girls' softball team. Liquor Kings.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness. What is the world coming to?
Yes, exactly. That's one of my favorite things about Twitter, just sort of the random pictures and elements you see crop up. So
yeah, no kidding. Well, thanks for taking time on a Sunday to join us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, take care. That's Rachel Bachman from The Oregonian. Terrific information on the new TV deal for the Pac-12. The ins and outs, what does it mean for Oregon and Oregon State? Great stuff there. All right, we're with you till 11:45, then we turn it over to Ducks Baseball. You're listening to Sports Business Radio on 95.5 The Game.